How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every weekend, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also available on the TuneIn Radio app, iHeartRadio, iTunes, a number of other online sources as well. And yes, believe it or not, I am home, even though you're listening to me over a telephone line right now. We're having a couple of technical difficulties here in the studio, and we are working to get those fixed. And I'll be continuing to work on them during all of the breaks here. But in the meantime, we will continue on over the telephone. So we'll do our best here today. We got Mike Sempervivi here on the line as always. And a lot of news to talk about on a very busy weekend. Number one, we've got a double event Sunday. We've got a UFC event to talk about, and also WWE Fastlane. The final show before WrestleMania is taking place tomorrow. So we're going to talk about both of those shows here on the program here tonight, as well as a lot of other news, including a lawsuit that has been filed by Dr. Chris Amon against CM Punk. Who is Dr. Chris Amon? Well, he's the fella that in the CM Punk interview with Colt Cabana allegedly had no idea what he was doing. And he allowed CM Punk to wrestle with a staph infection. A lot of allegations that CM Punk made in that podcast with Colt Cabana. And now Dr. Chris Amon has filed a lawsuit asking for more than $1 million against CM Punk. So we can talk about that here on the program today. And a lot of other news as well. Keep in mind that besides tomorrow, starting Monday, we will be going Monday through Friday here on Sports Byline USA, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, every single day, 6 days a week. We'll retain the Sunday show. So essentially we'll go Sunday through Friday every single day, starting at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. We're going to talk more about that here in just a moment as well. But in the meantime, stand by. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of stuff to talk about here today on a Saturday morning. As noted, we're having some technical difficulties here, but we're going to try and get those fixed as quickly as possible. For now, Mike and I are doing the show over the telephone, old school here on Wrestling Observer Live. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. CM Punk lawsuit, WWE Fastlane, and so much more. And Mike, how things going today?
I won't complain at all. The weather has gotten a lot better where I am in the last couple of days. So being all snowed in and iced in, there looks to be some hope on the horizon. And anytime a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight gets made, you know, there's got to be hope everywhere.
That's right. The Mayweather-Pacquiao fight got made. I know we got a lot of news, but since you are a resident boxing expert, I know over the years I've asked many people whether they thought that this fight would ever be made, and usually I got a no, sometimes I got a yes, but it has been made. It's taking place, I believe, in May. Give us all the details on this big fight.
Yeah, it's going to be taking place on May 2nd, and I guess no one should believe it until it's actually in the ring. And for those people that are hardcore UFC fans, you know to never get too excited about a main event with injuries and everything else that could happen until you're actually seeing it in the ring. But it has been announced, and even if there is an issue with training or something like that, if it doesn't happen in May, it will happen in September. But it looks like everything is being built around May 2nd. Oscar De La Hoya has moved the Canelo Alvarez's fight that he had scheduled for that date. The only way he was going to move that would be if they got this thing together, and they did. And it will end up, even though it's about 5 years too late, it will end up being the richest prize fight in the history of the world, with numbers that they're talking about with $150 million to Mayweather, $100 million to Pacquiao. It's just ridiculous amounts of money. They're saying at the minimum Pacquiao will get $80 million, and Mayweather will walk away with $120 million in all of this. So it is going to be a huge, massive fight. It will be a $100 pay-per-view, which is setting a record there. And even with that steep price tag, they're looking at 2.5 million pay-per-view buys at least the more positive estimates have that up at 3 million they believe they'll be able to draw in. And with the way they have the MGM Grand Hotel arena set up, you're looking at not only the most expensive or most the biggest money-generating pay-per-view of all time, but it's going to be the biggest gate in Nevada history as well, too, which will make it probably the biggest gate in the history of the world. So it's going to be an exceptionally exciting event when it finally takes place. Again, it's 5 years too late, but the money is the money, and that's really all that matters.
So the big question now is, if this fight does take place and it's over and done with, Mayweather wins, I presume, would be most people's prediction. Is this it? Not in the sense that is boxing dead, but I mean, in our lifetime, are we going to see anything even approaching this based on the state of boxing right now?
Well, it's going to be tough. This isn't even the biggest fight. This is being brought up as the super fight of the century and the whole nine yards and the greatest fights of our lifetime. I think if you're 35 and older, you've already had plenty of fights like this. It won't be as lucrative, but they've been better fights. You've had Pernell Whitaker and Julio Cesar Chavez. You've had Tyson against a number of people, not the least of which have been Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis. You've had Felix Trinidad against Oscar De La Hoya. You've had massive fights. Hearns, and that's not even counting all the ones in the 80s that took place with all of those middleweights and guys like that. So it's not the biggest fight in the history of the world, but it's the biggest fight of this generation. And as we look forward when it comes to the sport of boxing, what else is there? Unfortunately, right now, there's nothing after this, and there doesn't seem to be anything on the horizon for a long, long time. There's a young American heavyweight by the name of Deontay Wilder, and they're trying to set up a fight with him and one of the Klitschkos, which, again, on paper sounds great, but is that going to be something that will really grab the public's interest? Not now, and even if there was a year of build, there still wouldn't be that much. There's great fighters that fight out there. Andre Ward is one of them. There's Golovkin, who will be fighting tonight on HBO. There's lots of great, exciting fighters out there. There's lots of great, fun fights for boxing fans. But there's nothing else there's no person out there that's transcending the sport. And that's what you need. And you also need a fight that's going to grab the public's interest. And there just does not seem to be anything there mainstream right now that it's going to really kind of get people in.
All right, WWE Fastlane is tomorrow, and finally, we have 7 matches. It took long enough, but we now have an entire card for the show. Of course, we're going to be on the air tomorrow for 2 hours leading up to the Fastlane pay-per-view, so you can all get ready for that here tomorrow. And don't forget, starting Monday through Friday, we are going to be here every single day from here on out, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. And I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about in the aftermath of Fastlane, since the main event of the show is a match where the winner will get a shot at Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania 31. Yes, I know that's what the Royal Rumble was supposed to be about, but as they say, plans change. We've got Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. They're doing a singles match. The winner of this match faces Brock. Obviously, there are many ways they could go. 3 of them, in fact. They can do Reigns versus Brock, Bryan versus Brock, or they end up doing the 3-way, which I think is the most likely scenario, even though they did a 3-way last year with Daniel Bryan. What are your thoughts, Mike, as we head into Fastlane tomorrow? Who is going on to face Brock at WrestleMania?
I have no idea. This could go so many different ways, which could affect the outcome of WrestleMania in so many different ways, too, as far as how you do things and how you lead out of it on the Raw the next day. But I will go with Roman Reigns winning. I'd like to see Daniel Bryan, but I'll go with Roman Reigns winning the thing after having a great match with Daniel Bryan. Of course, obviously due to Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan's in a good spot here where he can really make Roman Reigns look good, and as long as Reigns holds up his end of the deal and things go pretty well in that match, it should give him some positive momentum leading into WrestleMania, and I think that's probably what they want to do. I hate the idea of a 3-way. It was done last year, and I don't believe it benefits. It's not going to kill anybody involved in the match, but I don't think you're going to reap the benefits that you would get as if it were a one-on-one contest. I still believe, though, even though I think Reigns is going to go on and win, and they will have their plan that they had originally where Reigns faces Brock at WrestleMania, I still think to close the loop on Daniel Bryan's run from last year and putting everything back together, I think him defeating Brock Lesnar in the middle of the ring would make a lot more sense and give you a lot more options, I believe, with Roman Reigns coming out of it.
So the rest of the card, and we're going to run it down here on this program today, aside from the main event, which again, I guess we'll see where they end up going there. We've got Nikki Bella and Paige for the Divas title, which
that's
exciting. Yeah, I don't think anyone really cares all that much about that. John Cena versus Rusev for the U.S. title. Yes, John Cena is in a title match for something other than the main belt. Rusev's streak is on the line. It is not the main event final match on the show, so there's a lot of ways you can go. I can't imagine them having something else planned for John Cena at WrestleMania. I mean, you'd have a month to set it up. All of the main players are largely, I believe, in play for WrestleMania. So my guess would be that they do some sort of screw job finish, and John Cena ends up getting another shot at WrestleMania. If you're going to do the title change, if you're going to beat Rusev, I don't know why you would do it at Fastlane. It doesn't make any sense to me, but that is the I guess, semi-main on the show. Do you think they end the win streak tomorrow, Mike?
I would hope not. I think they're insane, too. And the way that Cena laid Rusev out on Monday, I think the opposite is more likely to happen leading into WrestleMania.
I really like the, I know we've talked about this 9 million times, but I'm a big fan of John Cena in this role as the secondary guy. And I don't know if we've really talked about it much, but John Cena winning the U.S. title and semi-main eventing pay-per-views and getting fresh opponents and not having to be there in the main event every single time, I think it is a positive for the company. We could talk more about that when you come back from the break. We also got the CM Punk lawsuit to talk about and a special surprise for everybody coming up after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Wrestling Observer Weekend, Saturdays and Sundays here. And we're having some technical difficulties, everybody, as you listen to me over the phone here, but we are working to clear those up, hopefully before the end of today's show, if not before tomorrow's afternoon show, leading into Fastlane. We are doing our best here, but we apologize for that. A lot of news to get into here today, Mike, as we return to the live airwaves after a couple of weeks of taped shows for a vacation here. And we're talking about the WWE Fastlane show, which is tomorrow, FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. We've talked about Rusev and Cena. And before the break, we were talking about the idea of John Cena as secondary champion for once in his career, working underneath the main eventers, having new feuds, having new title matches. A lot of ways you can go with it. It's, to me, a lot more refreshing than seeing him in the main event on every show. And ideally, you would set up some sort of match where he faces and defeats Wade Barrett, for example, unifies those titles, and we have two main titles, the one largely held by John Cena and the other one held by, who knows, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, if Lesnar resigns, lots of ways you can go. Thoughts on that scenario?
Yeah, I love the idea. You know, that's the one thing with John Cena. There's been a lot of people, you know, they want to turn him heel or they just want him to go away altogether. It's just, you can't do those things, and it would be, to me, insane to do any of those things. But, like everybody that's tired of John Cena, even though I am a supporter of Cena's, he's not perfect. And one of the problems that WWE has had is he's been their only guy, and it's not been his fault. It's been WWE being so reliant on him. They can't even keep him off TV 1 week for an angle. That's how desperate they are and how reliant they are upon John Cena. That's got to change. It just flat out has to change. And this is one of the ways you can begin to do that. You don't write John Cena out altogether. It's not like he's not going to be in the top three mix of the most important matches on the card, but it gives other people a chance to be up top. It clears up Rollins. It clears up, you know, everybody else that's, you know, going for the belt right now, Bryan and Lesnar and Reigns and everybody else. And it's he's in a perfect scenario. He is in an 80s cartoon feud. He's an 80s cartoon type of character, a Hulk Hogan type of character facing what was one of Hulk Hogan's greatest opponents, the evil foreigner. So the whole scenario is perfect for him right now. The only way this stops being perfect is if he beats Rusev tomorrow night, which I don't believe he is going to do because the story is just too good, and it doesn't make any sense to do it. He lays out Rusev on Monday, which I thought was too much, but dust that off to the side. Rusev beats him tomorrow. You have this great struggle. You have, you know, this is like a Rocky movie. You have Lana laughing. You have Rusev laughing. See, we told you he was broken down. We told you he was a dead old man. Look at him now. And he fights back just like Rocky would, just like Hulk Hogan did. And he trains, and he says his prayers, and he eats his vitamins, and he is going to avenge his loss and the loss of America at the biggest event in sports entertainment, which is WrestleMania, in front of all of those people. That story just works out too well, especially when you can include somebody like a Hulk Hogan into the mix. You can include the fact that John Cena, who is being portrayed by Lana at the end of his career, he can think back to the very first title he won, the United States heavyweight title. And again, you can have that happen. Now, what happens with the belt after that? You know, somebody had a great idea on Twitter where they had the idea of Hogan where Cena could retire the belt. He could win it back for America. He could take it back. It was the first belt that he won, and they could retire the belt and get rid of it, which would instantly, hopefully, make the Intercontinental title that much more important.
Well, let's not get crazy here, Mike.
I know. Although, they should have a pretty good start. Although, this is seems to be a lot of matches that are taking place on Fastlane. We'll have some sort of screwy finishes where we will see rematches at WrestleMania because, you know, the match with John Cena, the Bad News Barrett Dean Ambrose match, you know, both of those matches, even the Usos and Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, I think those are all matches we could see again at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's very possible we'll get some rematches at WrestleMania. Bad News Barrett and Dean Ambrose are fighting for the Intercontinental title, and honest to God, it is a battle of two men who never win. I don't think Dean Ambrose won a single pay-per-view match in all of 2014, and he was in the Rumble. He didn't win that. So here he is going up against Bad News Barrett, who I don't know if you've noticed or not. He also never wins, except on very rare occasions. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
Dean Ambrose wins.
Huh? You are not. You see, they may never win matches, but look at their acting range now from doing all those skits.
Oh, great. Maybe we can make it the Actor Continental Championship or something like that. I don't know. How about you get rid of the belts, you put them on John Cena, you unify them, and then you actually have a winner with the belts, and then perhaps they'll mean something. Let me just tell you something here. This is a weird analogy, but what the heck. This NXT crowd at Full Sail University, yes, they are a very hardcore crowd. Yes, they like to get themselves over. Yes, there's 100 people in the front row that cheer, that everybody loves, blah, blah, blah. But you want to know what? In NXT, those belts all mean something. And they had Blake and Murphy beat the Lucha Dragons to win the tag team titles, and the place went crazy because those belts mean something. It's really easy to do. You just have a champion or a series of champions here in the secondary title slot on the main roster who don't lose, and they don't lose their matches until either A, they're setting up a championship match, somebody beats them in a non-title match and you set up the championship match, or they lose the championship match and the other guy wins the title. This is so easy. I don't know why they don't do it, but
because that's not Vince's wrestling. That's
but it is Vince's wrestling. It was his wrestling until the late 90s, and then all of a sudden it became Vince Russo's wrestling, and he's still stuck in that era.
It's entertainment, pal. Look, I'm with you. I mean, to have a,
you know what entertains me is winners.
Well, that's, yes, and a little bit more of a sporting aspect and a little bit more of that stuff to go along with all of the gaga. You don't need a lot of it. New Japan shows that. You can have a healthy balance of complete ridiculous stuff where men come down through the crowd wearing iron fingers and spray paint announcers and have incredible matches with incredible athletes, which that's one thing WWE has. They have a bunch of incredible athletes and a bunch of talented people. Unfortunately, they've killed them, and Barrett and Ziggler, or, well, Ziggler's another different type of example, but Barrett and Ambrose are two of the best examples of that. Nobody thinks for real, unless it's, you know, Kurt Angle, that anybody can, that's in professional wrestling, can beat Brock Lesnar in a real fight. There's very few people that could beat Brock Lesnar in a real fight. There is. You try to fight and see what happens. But Wade Barrett, when you look at him, you look at his face, you look at that nose, he's a bare-knuckle fighter. You know, you have that going for him as far as being a street fighter. He looks like a guy that can kick your ass. And because of his height and because of his size and because of the fact that he's got a really good rap, you know, you could believe him in a fight against Brock Lesnar, but instead they have him doing nonsense. Dean Ambrose, that character, yes, you can't be Jon Moxley from the independent scene and have that play on WWE TV. It just doesn't work that way. But you can have him have more of an edge than they've given him. They've really dulled the edge on Dean Ambrose, and it's one thing to do the skits, but they're becoming reliant on them, and they've taken away, again, a little bit of his edge. And those are two guys, they're the best example, and Barrett being even the better example because they have screwed him up so many times. One of the best things that happened to him the last time around was he got hurt. And things, he comes back, things are looking good, and then they have him lose to Sin Cara for really no reason in a way to build up a title match. It was ridiculous. So they've blown it a lot of times with them, with both of them, and really now would be a great time, especially because they have all the problems they usually do after WrestleMania, to try to fix those issues with those guys.
What issues they have. It is amazing to track the career of Mr. Barrett. As you noted, when he started, he was a tough guy, bare-knuckle fighter who beat people up. And the next thing you know, he's doing... Well, first off, I did enjoy... I've got some... I'm afraid I've got some bad news. I did like that. But he's coming out in a giant scissor lift. It was preposterous. Why does a bare-knuckle fighter... How is he investing in a scissor lift at all of these shows? That's the least of our problems, though. Now he's doing BMZ, I believe, is how it's being done on television. The Barrett MZ. I don't even know what it's supposed to stand for. It's obviously a playoff TMZ, but now he's doing BMZ. How is this? I just don't get it. His character was great, and now he's a geek.
Yes, and even if you want to give him the fact that he's a prick, you know, and laughing in people's faces and being just a real D-bag about things, great, that's fine, and you can do that. But you can't have him losing matches just randomly for no reason. You can't have him, you know, for Dean Ambrose to tie up his hands and all that stuff, okay, fine, even though he was cartoony, but that would have been better done at the end of, like, 8 weeks of chasing of Dean Ambrose or something like that, and had something like that happen. The way they had it done, and with the, you know, the position that these two guys are in, it just came across as just way too much of a goofy cartoon.
We got more Fastlane matches to talk about, everybody, and also the CM Punk lawsuit with, or it's a lawsuit being filed against CM Punk by Chris Amon. We'll talk more about that after the break. No phone calls on the program here today due to our technical difficulties, but hopefully those will return on the Sunday show, as well as all next week when we return Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. It's permanent now, everybody. You can listen to Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline USA 6 days a week. And we shall be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And yes, that little boy during the commercial break is alerting you that Monday through Friday, we're going to be available starting this coming Monday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And I should note that from now until Tuesday, if you are a longtime listener to this show, and you always hear me do the plug, hey, everybody, sign up. All of the great stuff at WrestlingObserver.com. 6,000 hours of audio, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? From now until Tuesday, we are doing a WrestleMania special. You can get a full month of unlimited access to WrestlingObserver.com. all of the new shows, all of the old shows, full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, full access to Figure Four Weekly. You can get all of that if you sign up before Tuesday on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a link. It's pretty much impossible to miss if you go up there. 1 month for only $3.99. If you go to the front page right now, it says WrestleMania Special. 1 month of full subscriber access for only $3.99. Click on that. And if you've never signed up for the website before, or if you are a past subscriber who has, for whatever reason, and God knows why, stop subscribing to the website, you can come back for $3.99. The usual price, $10.99. I talked to Dave Meltzer. We were only going to do this one time on Black Friday. It was the first time we'd done it in about 10 years. But then we got to thinking it's WrestleMania season. WWE Network is doing a free month. It's great timing. Let's do it one more time. So if you didn't sign up the first time, and you've been regretting it, there is no better time as we head into WrestleMania than right now to take advantage of this special. 1 month for only $3.99. You can go to WrestlingObserver.com right now, click on that link, and boom, you are in. And if, by the way, if you're listening to this show live right now and you're hearing us over the phone due to our technical difficulties, there is a pristine version of this recording, which is going to go up on the front page about 10 minutes after the show goes off the air. So if you miss any of the show, you can check it out there as well. And I should note that when we go Monday through Friday live at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, if you ever miss the shows, they'll all be archived in about 10 minutes for subscribers on the website. You will never miss out on this program if you sign up. And right now you can do it for only $3.99. So do not miss out. Mike, the rest of this Fastlane card here. Then we got to talk about CM Punk. We've got a six-man tag. Ziggler, Rowan, and Ryback against Seth Rollins, Kane, and The Big Show. We have got Goldust versus Stardust. Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And really, the only thing of note in all of these matches is Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar are, in fact, on the same pay-per-view. I think it's very, very unlikely. But Seth could cash in.
It's possible. It's possible. I mean, again, the main event of this show will be interesting because it plays a lot of effect on WrestleMania, the Raw afterwards, and a lot of that has to do with Seth Rollins. If you decide to go with Daniel Bryan defeating Brock Lesnar, and you could have a situation where Seth Rollins seems as though he's going to be tied up with Randy Orton. We've heard that for a long time, would seem to make sense. Who knows why they're holding off on Randy Orton? Maybe it's because they want The Undertaker. Since that's the direction they're going with Bray Wyatt, they want him to come back first. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But Seth Rollins, if Bryan wins and faces Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, you could have Reigns lay out both of those guys the next night on Raw, which would send Brock packing to the UFC and leaves Daniel Bryan wide open for Seth Rollins to attack him, which would make Roman Reigns a full-blown heel. And again, there's a zillion and one things you could do out of this thing. The least important part of all of this is the six-man match. Again, could Randy Orton come out in this? It's possible he could, which would set up he and Rollins for WrestleMania, because as of now, they both need something to do. And because of that reason, I'll go with that happening, just so I can have a reason to give Rowan, Dolph, and Ryback the win.
All right, CM Punk, Chris Amon, we've got an issue going on right here. As everybody is well aware, CM Punk left WWE. He did a podcast with Colt Cabana. He got a settlement with WWE for an undisclosed amount of money. He is a free man. He signed with UFC. A couple of days ago, according to the Cook County Record, Dr. Chris Amon filed a lawsuit against CM Punk, where he said, quote, his reputation had suffered as a result of the former WWE wrestler's comments. Amon is seeking more than $1 million in compensatory damages. Big word there. Legalese. As well as an undetermined amount of punitive damages. He is suing him for a lot of money as a result of the Colt Cabana podcast. Colt Cabana is also named in this suit because it was his podcast. Eamon in the suit says he was not requested by Brooks, that CM Punk, to treat and or excise a lump, let alone a purple baseball-sized lump, which, of course, CM Punk claimed in the podcast was MRSA, a very, very dangerous staph infection. He claimed that many times he had asked Dr. Chris Eamon to take care of this, and Chris Eamon had refused to do so. And the next thing you know, he went to AJ Lee's doctor. They diagnosed it as MRSA. They cut it all out. It was the most painful experience of his life. And Chris Eamon, how many times am I going to screw that name up? I'm just going to call him Chris Eamon. Chris Eamon has stated that this is not true, and I want a lot of money as a result of these statements. He claimed these statements highly offensive. They accuse him of a gross lack of integrity as a medical doctor, an inability to perform his professional duties as a medical doctor, and it is placing his financial interest of his employer above life-threatening health conditions of his patients. So he's very, very concerned. He's filing suit. Mike, having read all this and listened to the podcast and followed this story, what do you make of this situation?
I think we're going to get a lot of doctor on doctor and lawyer on lawyer action. It's probably a reminder that even though you are giving your side of the story anytime you do, if you're a public figure especially and you talk like that about someone and you break down things how you broke them down, I guess that other person could respond, and you have to be careful, I guess, sometimes. Although, again, I don't know. I don't know what the procedures and what the protocol is like as far as, do the physicians actually have like a little checklist? Do they just ask, you know, if guys, do they come to each individual guy? Do they have to note this? I mean, it seems to be very easy if you have to keep a record of these things, that if Punk was seen by Eamon, then this shouldn't be an issue. Either he saw him or he didn't. He either said what he did or he didn't. You're going to have Punk's doctors that he went to probably, you know, called, and then they should openly question. And I guess they, if I recall correctly from the podcast, they did wonder how they could have possibly missed this lump on his back being MRSA. So I don't know. This is probably going to be drawn out for a long, long time. It's obviously, you know, it's juicy stuff to sit back and watch and see what happens, because you have, two public figures. And I don't know if this is going to help people not chanting Z-Pac at Am and there anytime he's on WWE TV or anything like that. But again, it's so early, and I just don't know. And I guess as the details start rolling out, it will be a lot easier to try to decipher. But that may be a long way off.
People keep asking, like, Brian, who do you think is telling the truth? Who do you think is lying? Is anybody lying? What's going on here? Listen, I don't know what's going on. We're gonna get a lot of information if this ever goes to court. And usually in cases like this, there ends up being a settlement. But one thing that you have to consider here is, regardless of who is telling the truth about what, the reality of the situation is WWE and CM Punk are not on good terms. They're on very, very bad terms. And WWE settled this lawsuit, and it was settled apparently in CM Punk's favor. So for somebody in WWE to file this lawsuit against CM Punk, in my opinion, they must think that they've got a great case. Now, why they think that, I don't know. But he's already beaten them in court. It wasn't even in court. He's already beaten them once in a legal battle. The idea that they're going to file a frivolous lawsuit, that CM Punk is going to win again, he's going to beat them again, I mean, maybe he can. I mean, I'm sure he's thinking he can. But the very idea that this lawsuit was filed says to me that there's got to be something where they believe we can beat this guy. Otherwise, why bother? Why go to war with the guy again?
it's the doctor's lawsuit. It's not like this is 100% WWE. It's the doctor. And if I guess if I'm the doctor and I heard that, you're basically making me look like a goof. You are, you know, with the concussions and that stuff, you have the, you know, the Hippocratic Oath and all these things where you are making that doctor look incompetent. You are making him look bad, and you are bringing him under a light where, again, I don't know how these procedures work as far as disbarring doctors or whatever it is, the medical board and all that stuff. But, you know, from how it sounds, from what Punk said, you can shine a lot of light onto him being beholden. It's just like the NFL with trainers and when, you know, when they talk about like guys being brought off for concussions, you know, and then they go right back on the field. It's like, you know, did you actually check that guy out? You know, how did he go through the whole protocol? So there's this stuff is in sports and in life anyway. So I guess if I'm the doctor, I have to worry about myself, and that's the reason I would go and file that suit. And again, I don't know what WWE has to do with this. I'm sure they're not helping Heyman because they're the ones, you know, employing the doctor. But if this is about him, I can see why he would do it. I don't know if he can win or not. I just don't know. And it really doesn't matter to me. It's a complete, you know, really doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. Again, this is more of a juicy type of thing where people just want to see what happens. But, you know, I think it's more about that.
I did see a video of CM Punk. He was doing a Sirius satellite radio show, and at one point he turned around and he pulled his pants down a little bit, and he showed the scar where he said this baseball-sized lump had been removed. And WWE, in response, has posted photos, I believe, on WWE.com, where they have footage of CM Punk in the Royal Rumble, and they have HD close-ups of his back, and you don't see any giant baseball-sized lump. And, of course, CM Punk is saying, well, it wasn't on my back or be visible. It was underneath the line of my trunks. And so you wouldn't see it in these videos. And WWE's argument is obviously, even if it were underneath your trunks, if it was the size of a baseball, you would see some sort of lump right there. So it appears to me that the crux of the issue is whether or not he had a baseball-sized lump and whether or not he ever actually approached Dr. Chris Heyman about removing it. And I guess it'll be a lot of paperwork. Who said what? What do we have, what do we have evidence of? It is an interesting situation. We got to head to a break. We'll talk more about this in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Just a quick note for those of you who are subscribers, in about an hour or so, we're going to have a brand new show up at WrestlingObserver.com only for subscribers. Myself and Dave Meltzer talking all about this CM Punk situation. We'll also be previewing Fastlane and a whole lot more. That is noted only for subscribers. And if you are not a subscriber, $3.99. You can sign up for an entire month, just $3.99 from now until Tuesday. So do not miss out. This is likely the last time we do this one for the foreseeable future. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com, sign up for just $3.99, full access to all of the shows we do and so much more. Tomorrow is WWE Fastlane, as well as a UFC event. We're going to be here at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, talking about it here on Sports Byline. We will do a final run-through of the card, and if all goes well, we will be taking your phone calls on all of the subjects here. I know a lot of you have got a lot to say about the CM Punk situation. The betting odds for Fastlane are currently up at WrestlingObserver.com right now if you want to check it up. The Frank Mir Bigfoot Silva fight, we've got a preview up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. The weigh-ins have just taken place. Largely, everything seems to be going all right, except for TJ Waldberger, who eventually, when attempting to cut weight, passed out in the sauna, and so he is off that show. And so we'll be talking about that lineup tomorrow on the program as well. We got WWE and UFC essentially going head-to-head tomorrow, so that should be a very interesting show. And then Monday through Friday, starting this coming Monday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, all of this is up at WrestlingObserver.com, everybody, including links to stream. So make sure you check that out. And we are going to wrap it up here today. Want to thank everybody for listening. As always, we should be back good as new on Sunday afternoon. Of course, thanks to Mike Sempervivi, all of the folks at Sports Byline USA, Scott Darren, everybody there. And of course, all of you, the listeners, we'll talk to you again tomorrow with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.